Now, pictures of child refugees arriving in the UK have been all over the news in the last few days as they're being moved out of the jungle camp in Calais, which is set to be demolished. It's been confirmed that two children with family ties in Birmingham arrived in the city yesterday, with more expected soon. But what exactly is it like to leave a war-torn country and head to the UK? Let's hear from Luai Almsari. Luai is 30 years old. He arrived in Birmingham last December on an official UN refugee relocation programme when his family was forced to flee Syria. Luai, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Just tell us about the situation in Syria. Where did you live and what was going on there?
I am from the city of Daraa. It's in the south of Syria, where is everything started. The war started in Daraa. You know, before the war, we had a wonderful life. We had everything. We were a family. We had jobs. We had everything. But, you know, it's war, everything. When it started, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Until it started in 2011. We had to stay there, and because, you know, it's our home. We didn't want to just run away. To the last minute, we still want to be there. But in 2012, they bombed our house. My brother was killed. My father was injured. They arrested my another brother, and he was tortured very badly. In that moment, we had to run away.
And just as a matter of interest, Luai, who was doing the bombing? Was it the Syrian government? Was it the rebels, the Free Syrian Army, as it were, or was it another force?
It started with the government. The bombing, but you know, the Free Syrian Army in that time, they didn't have a big weapons to bomb. They just have some guns and that's it. They tried to defend themselves. I am talking about in 2012. Now it's different. Everyone have this. The bombing is from every side.
Sure, but at that time, Daraa, where you were living, was seen as maybe then as a bit of a rebel stronghold.
Yeah.
And so the Syrian government of President Assad bombed your home city.
Yeah.
You lost your brother in the bombing.
Yeah.
Your father was injured, and your brother was seriously,
yeah,
savagely tortured.
Yeah.
So where did you escape to then? How did you decide to plot your escape from Daraa? How difficult was that?
Yeah, it was very difficult, you know. We ran away from our house to another village. Then we had to take this decision because we had to walk for long distance for 2 days. 2 days walking, and my father was, because he was injured, he couldn't walk. And in that time, he said, we can't take the risk. All of us, we staying here. Some of us have to go to Jordan, and I will stay. It was a very, very bad situation. We have to lift someone. We had to lift someone. Then...
So your father stayed behind. And
yeah.
Did your father stay behind... Because of his injury?
Yeah, his injury, he couldn't walk.
So he said to you and your mother?
To my mother and my sister and my brother.
Said, go on to Jordan, which is next door,
yeah,
to Syria, because in Jordan there are refugee camps.
Yeah.
But where at least you would be free from the threat of bombing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, because my brother had some problems because of the torture, he said, go there. Maybe they can help your brother. It's better for the family. And, you know, we hope that time it will not take very long. We said to ourselves, it's 2 months, 3 months, and we will go back. And then we had to walk for 2 days until the Jordanian border. And They put us in the refugee camp. We stayed there. We had to wait 3 years there.
3 years in a refugee camp. And for people who are not familiar with this, my understanding is that there are more people living in refugee camps in Jordan than the population of Jordan, the normal population. So because of the scale of the refugee camps of people fleeing Syria has effectively more than doubled the normal population of Jordan. And what was the conditions like in the refugee camp? How was it like living there?
There you can't do anything. You can't walk, you can't get a job, you can't study, you can't... You have to just stay there waiting.
So you've got a degree of safety, which of course is good, but essentially then you've got food, you've got a tent to live in.
Yeah, that's it. But it's not a good condition, you know. The food is not so good. And there is some people who are injured, some people with disability, some people with... They couldn't find the medication, the treatment. It was very hard.
Luai, we'll speak more about your situation in a moment. The time now on BBC WM is 8:15. I'm talking to Luai Almasri, who is a refugee from Syria, living in Birmingham at the moment. Not a child refugee, but as you can tell, someone who's been through a really significant and traumatic life experience, sharing his story with us on BBC WM this morning. Let's get the travel update.
Your travel news in the West Midlands. BBC WM 95.6.
And the latest travel now on BBC WM with Chiara Glorioso.
Thanks a lot, Adrian. Well, we have got problems on the motorways this morning, actually. We'll start on the northbound stretch of the M6. A breakdown there, closing a lane, so making things very heavy. That's if you're coming in from Castle Bromwich Junction 5 up towards Junction 6 at Spaghetti. The opposite side of the M6, travelling southbound. We earlier had a lane close there to deal with an accident. That's now actually opened, but the queues are still lingering around. So from the M54, you'll hit queues Junction 10A right the way down to the M5 link at Junction 8, as it was already a little bit slow there for you this morning. Apart from that, if you are heading off the motorways and through Wishaw, the A4091, that's currently partially blocked because of an accident at Bodymore Heath Road. If you're heading out across the other side of Birmingham, we've got queues through Great Bar Birmingham Road. That's very slow around the Scotton. So if you're heading towards Birmingham from the M6 at Junction 7, that's going to affect you. A41 through West Brom is also very heavy around the M5 at Junction 1, and out across Wolverhampton, the Rock is also busy. That's at the junctions of Henwood Road and Lower Street. If you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 travel on 0301 23 35 50.
First of all, I think it's a real privilege for people to trust somebody, I don't suppose I am a stranger to a lot of people.
Danny Kelly.
But Eunice opened up to me. She had spent a lifetime smoking.
Your programme last week gave me the inspiration to do something about it.
And she was in tears explaining to me how important it was that I listened to her and that I took her seriously, and that meant so much to her.
Danny Kelly.
He'll get you talking. Weekdays from 9
on BBC WM 95.6.
And don't forget as well, this afternoon, Phil Collins is going to be touring again. He's got his autobiography, The Tour. We love the name. Not Dead Yet is going to be touring. I think the only UK date is in London. Anyway, he's going to be chatting to Franksy this afternoon from 4:00. And of course, then at 5:30, the football phone-in with Franksy. Adrian Goldberg with you here on BBC WM at 8:17. So much discussion at the moment around the situation of refugees in general, child refugees in particular. Luai Almasri is in the studio with me. Came to Birmingham last December on an official UN refugee relocation programme. He isn't a child refugee, but his story, as we've been hearing, is a pretty horrific and a traumatic one. Bombed in his home city in Syria by the regime of President Assad. During that bombing, he lost his brother, who was killed. His father was badly injured. Another brother was savagely tortured. Luai was then telling us that he was moved to walked over 2 days to a refugee camp in Jordan, where he remained for 3 years. And of course, he had relative safety there, food and shelter, but not much else, not much ability to work or no chance to work. And you were training in Syria to be a vet, Luai, yeah? So, you know, you're a guy who's got some skills and some knowledge. And then in the refugee camp,